Okay.
Is it YouTube or YU?
This goes on both. It goes on YouTube. It goes on YU Torah. Okay, so the recording is live, and I have a very interesting and amusing topic for us today, or at least I think it's amusing. Let me read for you the title of the shiur. Iser Shichachas HaTorah B'Doros HaAchronim. Literally, the prohibition of forgetting Torah. So, is there a prohibition in halacha, in the Torah, for me to forget what I learned? In other words, let's say I went to a shiur last week, and then this week I totally forgot what I learned in that shiur. Is there a prohibition to forget the Torah I learned? Or I'll do even, one even better. I prepared this class about 2 weeks ago or so, and I slated it to share with you now. And I realized that about an hour and a half before giving this shiur, I had forgotten what the content was of the shiur. I knew the general question, but I had to look over all the sources and make sure I knew what was going on. So, had I inadvertently violated the prohibition of forgetting what I learned, ironically, while I was preparing to give a class on that exact topic. So there you go. If that's not meta and ironic, I don't know what is. So our adventure begins with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So, I'm going to do two things. One is I'm going to share in the chat a file. So if you just wait 1 moment, this will be the Hebrew source that we will be looking at tonight. And then I'm going to, sh there's going to be two sources that have translation on them. Those I will screen share. So if you give me 1 moment, I will pull up. Let's see. You know what? Okay, 1 moment. Using Marissa's PC, I'm still learning the ropes here. Okay, there it is. So it should be uploading to the chat momentarily. And meanwhile, we are going to start by looking in Pirkei Avos. So the Gemara, the Mishnah in Maseches Avos says as follows: Rabbi Dostai b'Rabbi Yanai mishum Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol hashocheach davar echa mimishnaso. Anyone forgets one thing from their studies, you forgot one detail, you got a 98 on the test, you didn't get a 100%. Ma'ale alava kasuv ki'ilu mischayev benafsho. You see this in Pirkei Avos a lot. It's probably hyperbolic, but still, the verse says it makes it sound like it's as if you are liable to give up your life, not give up your life, but rather, your life should be taken because you've done such a terrible thing of forgetting something that you learned. Shenemar, etc. So just initial impressions. We're looking at this mission over here. Let me maybe I can't really scroll down that much, but just to give you some of the English as well, if that helps out. What are our impressions over here? It sounds like for the Mishnah that we actually, when we learned about Bittul Torah, same area, when we learned about Bittul Torah and how one should not disrupt their learning, the Mishnah used that same formulation, Kilu Mischayev Benafsho. So why do we think the Torah, why do you think the Mishnah, why do you think the rabbis are taking such a harsh stance? I mean, everyone's bound to forget Torah at some point, right? So that's question number one. Question number two, and now this is the voluntary part. If you want, you can look in the chat. There's a PDF there with a wonderful essay from Rav Yerucham Olshin from Lakewood and Beis Medrash Gavoa. We're bringing in the heavy hitters tonight. And he asks a question based on Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner makes a very fascinating statement. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, so if you're following inside, this is the first column on the bottom. He writes, Zeh koi al harishonim shelamdu bal peh. This whole entire prohibition of forgetting what you're learning, don't worry, guys, in 2021, I've got you covered. This is only for the people who lived during the times before the Talmud was written, before the Mishnah was written down. But nowadays, now that we have Torah Sheval Peh, the oral Torah is no longer an oral tradition, but it's written down in the books. You don't have to worry if you forget anything, because you could do what I did literally before giving this class tonight, was I looked back at my notes, I looked back at the SVARM, and I remembered, oh, I remember what I learned 3 weeks ago when I said I wanted to teach a shiur on Monday night. So, okay. But what's his rationale? So the basis of the prohibition of someone forgetting what they learned, it doesn't apply once they wrote down the Torah Shebel Peh. Now, we need a little bit of background. You know how we have what we call the Torah Shebech Sav, the written Torah, and we have the Torah Shebel Peh, which is the what we call the oral Torah. Did anyone ever wonder, it's kind of a funny thing, you know, we think of Tanakh, the Bible, as the written Torah, and we think of Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, the Talmud, rabbinic literature, it's Torah Shebel Peh, the oral Torah. Did anyone ever wonder, it's kind of funny, you know, we call it the oral tradition, yet it's written down the same way you, you know, open up a Tanakh, you can open up a Gemara. What makes the Gemara any more of an oral tradition than the words of the Bible itself? Anyone ever wonder that?
No.
No, because Zadie knows the answer to that one already, right?
I think so. Because originally it was oral, and we Jews keep the same labels no matter how things change. If we called it oral Torah in the beginning, we're still calling it oral Torah.
Okay, so let me, Zadie, very good. And let me take that idea and elaborate on that. The Gemara in Maseches Gittin on Samech Amud Beis, probably the locus classicus for one of the most radical halachic principles on the books, in the literature. What happened was, and this is very relevant here, is that it used to be we had a Masorah and one generation taught all of the oral tradition to the next generation and that generation to the next generation, just like we said at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. But the rabbis realized, gosh, you know, Baruch Hashem, you keep going through the sea of Torah and you uncover more ideas and you expound more on it. There's too much in here. There's no way we can fully 100% transmit the Torah from one generation to the other. It's going to become broken telephone. What are we supposed to do? And the issue is that there is actually a prohibition to write down the oral Torah. The oral Torah is not supposed to be written. Now, why isn't it? Maybe because it's not supposed to go out to the whole world. It's supposed to be kept within our tradition. We can talk about that. But then, what's the Gemara say? It is it quotes from Psalms. It is a time to act for God, and therefore we must uproot the Torah. We must be, you know, the Lashon Mefer Nedarim, that you annul a vow. It's the same word in Hebrew. You're annulling. It's like you're annulling the Torah. We're actually violating a prohibition by writing down the Torah. But what the rabbi said is, in this very, very extreme, extenuating circumstance, where if we don't write down the Torah, we are going to lose the Torah altogether. We had to write it down. And now, while that might be something that would be considered trap, you know, we don't even think about it, right? You know, we think so much. You think about, like, the Torah scholar. You don't imagine just the guy with a, I mean, you know, it depends on your biases. But I don't just imagine a guy with a Tanakh open. I imagine him having, you know, surrounded with an entire Shas as well and rabbinic literature. He's got the Reb Chaims, Reb Elchanans, etc. So, but apparently back then it wasn't supposed to look like that. Now you're allowed to have some notes, of course, but it wasn't supposed to be canonized the way it is today. Now, even though this had to occur, it did us a favor, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, because once the Torah is written down, there's no prohibition to forget it, because it sounds like from initial reading, his rationale is, if I forget what I learned in Shir, I could always go back to a recording on YU Torah. I could always go onto YouTube and watch the recording of the Shir. And I could always just look in a safer and look something up in the Gemara if I missed something the other night. So because I have access to all these books, I mean, I try to remember what I learned, but if I forget, I forget. It's not the end of the world. I'm not violating the prohibition in the Torah, God forbid, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says. So it did us a bit of a favor almost. And that's his initial presentation of Reb Chaim Volozhiner's rationale for how the Mishnah says, oh, it's such a terrible thing to forget a piece of Torah. We say, look, we want you to remember the Torah you learned. We want to keep halacha to the best of our ability. That requires us knowing some Torah. Like, if you forget, it's not the end of the world. It's not Kilu Mischayev Benafsho. You know, your soul is not on the line because of it. Let's pause for a moment. Any impressions on that rationale? Or any questions or maybe challenges, reasons that you might not buy Rechaim V'Lashner's argument for why that Mishnah should no longer apply today?
You know, I have to take as an explanation or a justification, there are some very prominent rabbis through the ages who have studied the Gemara beginning to end repeatedly, as even the whole thing in 1 year. And when they finish, they go back and start all over again. They don't do it just to learn, just to review what they already have in their heads. They do it in order to preserve their knowledge and to refresh what they forgot. Mm-hmm. And so that's, we're fortunate that we have it in writing, because we had an emergency situation and it would have been lost.
So right, and what it does is it gives a big favor.
We have it preserved.
Rabbi?
Sorry, who was speaking? Is that Phyllis?
Yes.
Yes, Phyllis.
I didn't want to interrupt your grandfather. Is he finished?
Oh, Zadie, was that? I think so.
I'm not interrupting again.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you.
Okay, Phyllis, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, I would have thought the statement you made that forgetting the Torah and Mischayev Benafsho was only years ago when there was no written Torah, that would be excusable because it wasn't written down, and today that we have everything written down, mm-hmm. the punishment, so to speak, would be more severe today than years ago because of the fact that we have access to everything written down.
I like that, Phyllis. You're saying no, on the contrary, now that we have the tools to review and master the Torah that we learned, now that I can go on YouTube, I can go on YU Torah, I can read a transcript of what I learned, I have no excuse to be forgetting what I studied.
Absolutely.
Okay, Phyllis, that's a good svara. It's a good svara.
tell that to Haredim.
What do you mean?
Whoa, sorry.
Okay. I remember the situation that caused it to be written down. I don't remember names. I don't remember dates, but the entire Torah wasn't just learned. It was sung with a trumpet beginning to end. And that's how they preserved it, because you can remember what you sing better than what you just speak.
Yeah, those were tools.
At the point, there was only one scholar who remembered it, and he would constantly singing it beginning to end. And there was a worker who, I forget, was a fisherman or whatever he was, and he was geographically close. He could hear this rabbi constantly singing it. Mm-hmm. And he learned the words just by listening to the singing, and he could repeat it. And they got him, and they had him sing it so that they could write it down, because it would have been lost if they didn't do that.
Wow. Right. And you know, Zay, that reminds me of a story. When I came to visit Bayswater to my parents, so I davened at the Agoda. I shared this all with you already. It was during middle of COVID, really. So the women don't come to shul at the Agoda Yisrael there during the week. So the women's section was converted into the people who wear masks section. So I was found in that section wearing a mask. And so in between Mincha and Maariv, we wait till Shkia. They wait till Tzeis HaKochavim. That's very nice if you you can manage that. So there was like about a 15 or so minute gap between end of Mincha and the beginning of Maariv. So there's like some yeshiva bacher who was sitting down learning. And he's like, and he's like trying to figure out a Gemara. And he starts singing the words of the Gemara. But then it just started turning into a random song, which had nothing to do with the Gemara. And he's singing like, Ayim Loyales Yerushalayim. And it goes on for like 2 minutes. I actually pulled out my phone and recorded it and sent it to my family chat. I'm like, guys, this is what I'm always joking about. But it was in real life. And then like at the end, and then at the end of the song, like I wanted to get up and give him an applause. That's Beis Medrash culture for you. Anyway, back to
our topic. What does forgetting mean? That you never learned it at all, or
you learned it, but you just need
a review on it. What does it really mean?
Okay, so let's jump in. Let's go a little further, and I think that might become a little bit clearer to us. And if not, we'll revisit that question. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch Harav takes issue with this idea. He has two questions on Reb Chaim Volozhiner's point. Number one, we're looking at the second column now. He writes. Now that the Torah is written down, and I'm able to look up what I forgot, that doesn't help. If the prohibition is for me to forget what I learned, it doesn't help me if I can then look it up in a book later. Because if I already violate the prohibition of not making sure I remember the Torah that I learned, by looking it up later on, post facto, that's not going to help my case. Meaning, great, I violated a prohibition, and now I'm going to try to learn again so I don't do it another time. But that doesn't mean the violation of forgetting the Torah that you learned no longer applies, he asks. That's question number one. Question number two, a more general point, he says, turning the page. Right, you're forgetting Orthodoxy 101, he says, to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That the Torah's laws apply from one generation to the next. We can't just say, things have changed a little bit, so we're going to take away the prohibition. It's a little too hard. You can't just do that willy-nilly, he says. Was it Arthur? Oh, okay. So what that leads us to is as follows. The Chidushi Maran Riz HaLevi, the Grizz asks as follows. So not as follows. The Grizz explains as follows. If you're looking on the second page, in the second column, where I put the arrow, I put an arrow there, self-explanatory, pretty important line. He says we misunderstood Reb Chaim Volozhiner's rationale. Reb Chaim Volozhiner's rationale, as we initially presented it, I built up a little bit of a straw man for us here, or rather, Rav Yochum Olshan did, because I'm sharing his idea. The straw man was that Reb Chaim Volozhiner's reasoning why there's no prohibition to forget the Torah I learned nowadays is because I can always reference it later. Comes along the Grizz, the Brisker Rav, and says, we misunderstood what the prohibition of forgetting the Torah was altogether from the get-go. We misinterpreted it. The prohibition of forgetting Torah is not me going to a shir one Monday night and then a week later forgetting completely what I learned. That's not the prohibition. We're all prone to forget. Someone asked me what I taught 4 weeks ago in this shir. I have to think back myself what I was teaching and what all the content was, you know? So the prohibition, it's part of the human condition that we are prone to forgetfulness and that we're not expected to remember everything that we learn. Well, you think every kid that comes out of high school remembers geometry and algebra and Macbeth? That's not going to happen. That's just not how human beings work. So it's impossible. Hashem can't say you're violating a prohibition by forgetting one detail in a shir that you learned one time. That can't be it. Otherwise, it's something that's ino yochalamabo. That's not something that human beings could be expected to do. We're just simply not programmed that way. Rather, what is this prohibition in the Mishnah Avos where it says, how dare you forget something that you learned? What's it referring to? Not to an individual forgetting, not to Moshe Kurtz forgot what he taught the other week, but rather, look at the arrow where I put the arrow there. Aval acher shekvar nechtam haTalmud. What's the rationale of this prohibition no longer applying once the Talmud was sealed? Once the Talmud was sealed, once we had our Mesorah secured, our tradition was secured, you're not going to violate what it says in the Mishnah Perkei Avos. Why? The Iker Azhara Zo Hi Al Mishnah Hamasura Bal Peshalo Tishkach, Midin Mesiras Hakabala, Shotor Shabal Pah, Letalmid Shatin Shekhas Midor Lidor. What's the concern? The concern back then was that we were still working out the, you know, the fine details of passing along the Torah Shabbat Pah. In the times of the Mishnah, when it was written, when the Mishnah was written. So during that time, you know, the Mishnah was basically one of the first attempts at codifying our tradition, at recording our tradition. And so things weren't secure yet. And what the rabbis and Pirkei Avos were telling us is be diligent. Make sure that the Jewish tradition makes it to the next generation. But once the Talmud was finally sealed, we got all those conversations down on paper. We have Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, we're secure and good to go. Then Shakabosho Torshua Peh, Teshmur Belevin Masurla Vino Akreinu. So then our children will remember it. Rechaim Velazhner's saying is that there's no prohibition for an individual to forget what they learned. What we're concerned is for a broader national issue, which is forgetting the Torah completely and having it and losing the Torah from one generation to the next generation. And now we can understand why the Mishnah speaks in such stark and harsh terms for someone who forgets their learning. Because if I forget what I learned, it's not me that I forget what I learned, but if I am one of these few people who is, you know, back then reading the Mishnah, and I have the privilege of passing along the tradition from one generation to the next, I have a huge responsibility to carry that along, to make sure that I inculcate that into the minds of my children, into the minds of my students and my community. For that, yeah, you know what? It makes sense that the Mishnah says, Kil Mischayav B'Nafsho, your life is on the line, because you have the responsibility to ensure the continuity of our tradition. That's Rechaim Velazhner's point. And so the questions of the Shulchan Arav no longer apply, you see. Because the Shulchan Arav was asking, oh, so big deal, you know, you wrote down Torah, consulting it later is not going to help your case if you forgot already. Again, it's not about personal forgetfulness. It's about passing along the tradition. And so Rechaim Velazhner is not changing the Torah once the Talmud was sealed. The prohibition never changed. The prohibition was is a mitzvah to ensure the continuity of our tradition. Once the Talmud was sealed, we still have that mitzvah, but we could sleep a little bit more securely knowing that we have that codified now, that we have that tradition sealed in our Talmudic tradition. Okay, what do we make of that?
Well, we make of it that it's a collective responsibility to preserve it, not an individual responsibility.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Summary. I was wondering if an example would be, so in the during the era of the kings of Judah, the high priest Hilkiah came before the scribe and said, ah, I have found the law in the house of the Lord. So it seems there's a situation, hey, we completely forgot this for an entire generation. Now it's all, you know, we found something from 300 years ago, boom. And so that would seem like that, you know, that would be, that should never have happened. Like the context, I think you were saying, the one rabbi was.
Yes, Oliver, I think that is an excellent example from Tanakh. That's a great biblical story where, you know, they kind of dug up this Sefer Torah, and they, you know, because people were worshiping the pagan gods, they had lost the tradition. And you have this beautiful instance where the tradition was recovered, and thank God we were able to pass Judaism from one next generation to the next. So that's an excellent point and very relevant to this. One other thing that I want us to look at is the following source. Oh, you know, one thing right before before we do screen share again. So if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah on the Mishnah, let's see, you know, I'm not going to bring it up, but I'll tell you what he says. Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the chief commentaries on Pirkei Avos. So we're in Rishonim, we're in the medieval period. Rabbeinu Yonah says, what is the concern of forgetfulness, of forgetting the Torah that we learn? He writes, Hare ze mischai b'nafsho, why is my life on the line? Ki yovu lahoros al piaskaraso. It's not talking about you, me, you know, who are just coming to learn a little bit of Torah because we just want to learn Torah because we love learning Torah and it's a mitzvah. But it's addressing actually a very specific person. It's addressing a posek. It's addressing someone who paskins halacha, someone who makes important halachic decisions for the community. What's the concern if he forgets the Torah that he learns? Well, we can all think it's pretty obvious what the big issue is. He's going to come to give a psak halacha. Someone's going to ask him, is this midari? Or is it, you know, is it kosher? Is it not kosher? And then if the rabbi forgot what he learns, he's going to paskin incorrectly. You're going to prohibit that which is permissible, and this person is going to permit that which is impermissible. And he's going to bring a great stumbling block to his constituency. And so he's bringing a very terrible, you know, religious calamity because of what he forgot. So again, it's not necessarily talking, even if we say it's about forgetfulness of an individual, it's not about the average individual. Now, again, we all want to remember Torah as well as we can, but it's talking about perhaps a posek, because, you know, I guess if you go on Facebook, you go on social media, you know, everybody wants to be a posek. Everyone wants to give a halachic decision. You know, I don't know how many of you guys are like on Facebook and social media, but you see the craziest things on there. And as we've mentioned many times, people ask halakhic questions, and people's knee-jerk reactions are, oh, pikuach nefesh, it's mutter to do whatever the heck you want now, right? As long as I could somehow, in some backhand way, saying there's a one in a million chance of this happening if you sit down that way and do it exactly that way, then you don't have to keep any mitzvahs in any Torah anymore, because I learned two Hebrew words called pikuach nefesh. That's the internet nowadays. But so the issue is that there are many people who want to become poskim, but they don't necessarily know any Torah. And then the issue also, that's a much, you know, extreme case. But even for someone who does know Torah generally, the Mishnah is saying is you better make sure you double check the sources before you make a decision that's going to impact another person's life. So that's the lesson of the Mishnah, perhaps. That's just a side idea. I want to look at one last, a second translated source here. Let's take a look at the Mishnah in Yoma. So this is still in Pirkei Avos. Need to switch over to Yoma. So now we're looking in the Gemara. The Gemara in Yoma has a very similar statement, but different in a particular way. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol ha-mishakeach davar mitamudo. Sounds familiar? Anyone who forgets something that they studied, Goring Galus Labanov, he brings exile to his children will be exiled. Shenemar Vatishkach Toras Elohecha Eshkach Benecha Gamani. If you forget the Torah of your God, I will forget your children. Rabbi Avo Amar, Morinoso Migidulaso. I take you down from your stature. You have despised knowledge. Well, I will despise any service that you give to me. So let's take a look here. It seems ostensibly to be the same case as the one in Pirkei Avos. In Avos, I'll just scroll back up here. It's talking about anyone forgets something that they learned. And in Yoma, it says someone who forgets something again, a synonym, something that they learned. So why is the punishment for forgetting learning in Pirkei Avos that your life is on the line, kil mischayev v'nafsho, whereas the Gemara in Yoma says that either your children will be exiled or you'll be lowered from your stature? Why is there a different kind of punishment here? You would think between the Mishnah and the Gemara, there'd be some consistency in our rabbinic tradition. So why in the Mishnah in Avos and the Gemara in Yoma, which are talking about the same thing, do we see different kinds of ramifications being offered by the rabbis? What is the basis for this distinction? What do we think?
I got an opinion.
All right.
The Mishnah takes us back to the oral tradition, and that's what we had. It was the totality of what we had. the Gemara, we are now in the, we've taken the Mishnah, which has been recorded, and we are now expanding on it. We're explaining it. And it's the difference between, in the first instance, losing the tradition. In the second instance, is you didn't go and check the sources before you paskined. Mm-hmm. And so it's also, it is that if you're going to forget the Torah in the sense that you're not going to follow it, even though it's written down and you've got it and you can find it, I'm going to exile you. And that's what happened.
So let's go in a similar line of reasoning. I agree with your intuition on this, Zadie, that it seems that the Gemara and the Mishnah have to be discussing two different cases. Now, remember how there's a slightly different wording? One was from Mishnaso versus Mitalmudo. Now, we translate both of them as from your studies. But actually, we have to ask, what's with the variance in the wording between the Mishnah and between the Gemara? Then the Mishnah says Mishnaso, and the Gemara says Mitalmudo. And I guess someone's going to tell me that, well, Mishnaso sounds like Mishnah, and it's in a Mishnah Navos, and Mitalmudo is the Talmud, which is the Gemara. I'm not sure if that's the answer, but that just occurred to me on one foot as I was saying it.
Just change the vowels and you get some other words like Shainato.
Oh, yeah, like you're sleeping, you're saying. Okay. So based on the Maharsha, we can say that perhaps this machlokus, this dispute between Rechayim Velazhner and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav had to understand the prohibition of forgetting one's learning, it might not have to, it doesn't have to be construed as machlokus, as a dispute. Perhaps, Efshir Lekayim Shnehem, both of them are right, and actually, each of them might line up with a different statement in Chazal, in rabbinic literature. We're on page Shin Pei for following inside. When we're talking about the prohibition of forgetting one's learning in the Mishnah Perkei Avos, Shalom Meirabo, Yeshiv Arapi Masha Bir Agriz Zechet Sak Lebracha Debrei Hagrachmi Velazhin. The Rechayim Velazhner's idea of God forbid we should lose the transmission of our Jewish tradition, that's what the Mishnah Perkei Avos is talking about. The Yisod Iser Shichas Torah Midin Havsakas Mesoros Torah the Torah Haba Achara. But perhaps, whereas the Gemara in Yoma, which talks about Shichas Mitalmudo, Mishnaso has the connotation of a Mesora being passed from a Rebbe to a student. And so there it says, Kumis Chayav and Asher has such a heavy punishment. Whereas the Gemara in Yoma, when it says that you forget Mitalmudo from your studies, that's talking about your personal studies. Now, again, there's still a pretty strong remark, you know, I don't want to minimize that, strong remark in the Gemara that we shouldn't just learn something and then forget. We should chaz or we should review and do our best to remember what we study. But it's not the same level of condemnation as the Mishnah, because the Gemara there fits more with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's understanding of the imperative of remembering one's learning, which is the personal study. And so I think, in conclusion, that both are really true. Now, I don't want anyone walking away thinking, oh my God, if I forgot something from this very shiur, thunder and lightning are going to come down from heaven and smite me. That's not what I'm saying. But I think, you know, the rabbis will speak in hyperbole sometimes, but the lesson that they're trying to transmit to us is that there is a value for our personal study of Torah, but also there's a value in ensuring the transmission of our Torah from one generation to the other. And I think I've got news that it's not, you know, even after the Talmud was finally sealed, there still is an imperative for us to make sure that the transmission from one generation survives to the next. Because we can have a beautiful shas in our library. We have a beautiful set of Talmud on the wall. But if we are not spending time studying that Talmud, we're not spending time studying that Torah and ensuring that we pass it along to our children, to our students, to our loved ones, the next generation, then it risks being lost as well. And so there's the personal relationship we have with God, but then there's our responsibility to our fellow Jews and to take the Torah and the love of Torah that we have and to share that with our fellow Jewish people and to share the broader values with the entire world. That's the lesson of the Talmud Torah that we have. And I think it's a very relevant lesson going into Shavuos as well, which we talked about Rus, went out of our way to convert to the Jewish people, and thinking about the broader lessons of our tradition and transmitting it to all of those who come to take refuge under the wings of the divine. So we will conclude the shiur over here. I will stay on a few minutes to take any remaining questions. But for those who are logging off, I wish you a good night and thank you for coming.
Yisro koach, thank you.
Very interesting, as usual. Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. You're not going to forget this one.
Oh. Good one.
All right.
Very good.
Thank
Very
you.
Good.
Okay, no questions?
No.
Okay. It was thank enjoyable you. Working together. Okay. Have a good night.
Bye, Tov.
You too.